Hello, welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett. So glad you're joining us today for the broadcast. And we are going through the book of Ephesians. And on our Monday broadcast, we're doing some things with the book of James. But then during the week, we're going through the book of Ephesians. And so I'm going to kind of walk us slowly through this interesting book of Ephesians chapter 1. And I want to begin by looking at verses 15 and 16. I'm going to start with those verses and then we'll make a few comments. And then I'm going to teach you some things about prayer and how Paul prayed fervently for the Ephesians. And Ephesians 1:15 says, "For this reason," Paul says, "you know, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." Now, don't you love this? If I would ask you, what do people hear about you? If I would say, what's the rumor about your life? What do people say about you? What do people think about you? Would they say what Paul says about the Ephesian believers? Paul says, "I have heard some things about you. I have heard some good things about you." And this is what he says about them. "I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ." You know, I hope that's what people say of me. I hope they say, you know what? That guy is not perfect, but he's got a lot of faith in Jesus Christ. I've got a little faith in a big God. And I love all of God's people. I hope that's what people really understand and know about me. And I hope that's what they think about you as well. Paul loved this theme of saying, "I thank God every time I remember you." He says, "Every time I think about you, I remember you and I start praying for you." So the rumor of that church of Ephesus was that things were going well because they had faith in Jesus Christ and they really loved each other. Paul kind of used that same thing in the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 19, he says, "Everybody," talking about the Roman believers, "everybody has heard about your obedience." And so he says, "I rejoice because of you. But I want you to be wise in what is good. I want you to be innocent about what is evil." So interesting what Paul says here. He says to the Roman believers, "I see and I hear that you're obedient, but I want you to know something. You've got to be very careful and wise about knowing what is good and very innocent about what is evil." What a great exhortation that is for us today, isn't it? I think too many of us are experts at evil. And I know we're living in evil times, but we are reminded here that we should be wise about what is good and innocent or unaware about things that are evil. Paul also had the same kind of exhortation for the Philippian believers. You know, Paul wrote that book of Philippians while he was incarcerated. And he says in Philippians 4, beginning at verse number 9, "We thank God because we have heard about your faith in Jesus Christ and your love for all of God's people." I'm sorry, that's Colossians 1:14. But then he says the same thing in Philippians 9. "Keep putting into practice all that you have learned and received from me. Everything that you heard from me and saw me doing, put it into practice. And the God of all peace will be with you." So there's four things that I want to share with you today about Paul's prayer that he provided for the church of Ephesus. And so if you really want to learn how to pray, the book of Ephesians is a great book to study to learn how to pray. And I want to share with you two reasons why Paul decided to pray for this church of Ephesus. Number one, he knew how to trust the Savior, and he wanted them to know how to trust the Savior. He prayed fervently for them because he wanted them to learn that. Just trust the Savior. You see, we live in a day and age where I think so many people are looking for answers, and that's good. I mean, we need to have answers, giving the hope that lies within us, but sometimes answers aren't enough. And as the old songwriter wrote, "When answers aren't enough, there is Jesus." And when answers aren't enough, sometimes you just got to trust the Lord. Paul says, "I can't give you all the answers. And furthermore, even if you knew all the answers, it wouldn't change things. I want you to learn to trust in the Lord." You see, their faith was evident. It was talked about by others. Paul didn't say that you told me about your faith. He didn't say that you studied a lot about your faith. He says your faith is being lived out. You say that you are living by faith and it is shown in your life. You know, Psalm 19:7 says, "The teaching of the Lord, they're perfect. They give you new strength. The riches of the Lord can be trusted. They make plain people wise." So I invite you to trust the teaching of the Lord. Those who have the strongest faith have always been those who live out the word. You know, the only thing that will ultimately keep a person from falling in sin is the love of God. There's a familiar Mother Goose rhyme that goes like this: Pussycat, Pussycat, where have you been? I've been to London to visit the Queen. Pussycat, Pussycat, what did you do there? I frightened a little mouse under the chair. Like that cat, Christians sometimes settle for petty involvement, trivial pursuits, chasing mice, when we have the opportunity to spend time with royalty, with the King. Instead of remaining content with a minimal daily requirements, we can dig deep into a relationship with God, and we can grow on into maturity. So we learn, first of all, that Paul is praying for the Ephesian believers because he wanted them to know how to trust the Savior, but he also wanted them to know how to treat one another. We learn in 1 Thessalonians 2:11 that Paul wanted them to treat each other as a father treats his own children. Paul also taught Timothy that older women should be teaching the younger women, and the older women should be treating the younger women with purity and with respect. Paul talks about how we ought to treat our wives, men. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. Treat her as you should, so that your prayers will not be hindered. We also know that we should be understanding that we have been passing from death unto life because we have loved the brethren. So Paul is writing to these Ephesians, and he's praying for them, and his prayer is kind of twofold. He's praying that they learn how to treat each other well, and that they learn how to trust the Lord exclusively. As we look at this prayer that Paul is giving, it's quite the interesting prayer. It's a prayer that is an understanding of us, how we can pray today. So let's dig into this prayer. But before we do, I want to share the illustration of Texas Ranger baseball player Josh Hamilton. Josh Hamilton battled the demons of drug and alcohol addiction. So when his team won their playoff series in 2010, Hamilton was concerned about the post-game celebration. He admitted that it was not good for a recovering alcoholic to be in the midst of a rainstorm of champagne. But something beautiful happened. Instead of showering everyone with champagne, his teammates stocked the locker room with ginger ale so that Hamilton could be included in the celebration. What a great picture of community and putting others' needs above your own. Well, let's talk about how we can pray. You know, you'll never know how good God can be to you. You'll never know how much God wants to reveal himself to you until you learn how to pray. So Paul is praying for the believers at Ephesus, and he wants them to know that their prayer can produce something. They actually can be wealthy by praying. And I'm not talking just financial wealth, but I'm talking about the spiritual riches that are ours when we commune with God. So here's the first thing that Paul prayed. Paul prayed that they would know the heart of God, that they would know his personality. And we're in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 17. Paul says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And here we see that we want to know the heart of God. I was doing a lesson on prayer the other night with our breakthrough prayer that we do nightly on Facebook Live at 8 o'clock. And I said, one of the dangers that I had in my prayer life is I kept asking God for his hand. In other words, I'd ask God for a handout. God, I need money. God, I need a job. God, I need wisdom. God, I need this. I need that. You know, I understand why we do that, and we can do that. There's nothing wrong with that. But in the midst of asking for God's hand, Paul is reminding us that more importantly than getting a hand from God, that we should know the heart of God. And as you know the heart of God, you begin to grow, you begin to know, you begin to experience the wealth of God. Many of you know that I'm a big fan of the late Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He was the pastor at New Park Street Church in London. God used his words to bring about amazing changes in the lives of people. He was a man who was an unbelievable preacher. He was called the Prince of Preachers. A man one day was on his way to get some gin, and Charles Spurgeon shares this illustration, and he saw the crowd at the church door, and he pushed his way in to see what was going on. At that moment, Spurgeon turned, and he faced that man, and he said, there was a man in the gallery who had a gin bottle in his pocket, and he had come with no good motive. The startled man listened to the rest of the message, and he was converted. One evening, a prostitute on her way to Blackfriars Bridge was going there to commit suicide. She stopped at the church, rather, hoping to hear some word that would help her prepare to meet her maker. Spurgeon was preaching from Luke chapter 7, 36 to 50, the story of the prostitute who wiped Jesus' feet with her tears. His next test was verse 44. Seest thou, woman, as Spurgeon preached, the woman saw herself, but also saw the grace of God and trusted Christ as her Savior. Listen, when you know the heart of God and you are growing in knowledge of Him, you will know exactly what to say to bring blessing and encouragement to others. It is great to have the Spirit of God control your mouth. James talks about this little tongue of ours and how it can be used as a world of iniquity. But how much more could that tongue be used to bring life and blessing to those who are listening to us? So Paul is praying for the Ephesian believers, and he's praying that they will first of all pick up on the personality of God. Second of all, he's praying that they will pick up on God's plan. Verse 18, Ephesians 1. Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Paul is driving home the point that God wants them to have an open heart to what he wants them to know. And he wants them to know the plans that he has for them. You know, God loves to share his plans with us. They are hopeful plans. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 37. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. You know, oftentimes we take life so serious, and I know we should take life serious, but you know, the Bible reminds us that a merry heart doth good like a medicine. You know, laughter may be the best medicine in transforming the faintest glimmers of hope in our lives. They have done research and they've discovered at Texas A&M University, and it shows that humor significantly increases a person's level of hope. Listen, God has plans of hope for you. He has plans for an abundant future for you. As you think about that, that ought to bring joy to you. That ought to bring joy to you. Romans 12:12 reminds us, be joyful in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be faithful in prayer. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I love that verse so much, it's become the theme verse this year for Hickory Ridge Community Church. But Paul doesn't stop there. He says in 2 Corinthians 3:12, therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. You see, when you have hope in Christ, you have that calm assurance, and you have that ability to speak with boldness. Paul reminded the Thessalonian believers in 1 Thessalonians 2:19, for what is our hope? What is our joy? Or the crown in which we glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes. And he says, is it not you? Isn't this amazing? When you become filled with hope, you provide hope for others. So Paul is praying that they'll see the plan of God and that they'll see the heart of God. But the third way that Paul is praying for the Ephesian believers is he's asking for God's provision, that God will take care of their needs. We learn in this verse 18b, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Now, this is interesting how Paul puts this. He's not talking about temporal blessings, but he's talking about a glorious inheritance in his holy people. In his holy people. Now, those of you who have been listening for a while, you know that I have a son that has autism. And because I have a son that has autism, I get to watch a lot of Disney movies. And I never get tired of watching them. One of my favorite, as you know, is the Toy Story. And I love Toy Story. And as you look at one of the Toy Story movies, they have a character in there called Ham that is actually the voiceover by John Ratzenberger, whose most famous role was as the mail carrier in the sitcom Cheers. And because I'm from New England, I've been to the place where this Cheers supposedly came up with the idea of their location. Well, Ham is noted for his wisecracking remarks and his pessimistic nature. The film begins with a six-year-old boy by the name of Andy. Andy is playing with his toys, such as Mr. Potato Head, a plastic dinosaur toy, and his favorite toy, Woody, which is a cowboy doll. He takes Woody into the living room and he plays with him, and with a short amount of interruptions from his mom talking to him, and he's getting ready for a later birthday party in the day. Upcoming to that time, they gather together and Woody gathers all the toys together and Andy starts helping his mother by carrying his baby sister Molly to her. And while he's away, all the toys come to life. The party makes all the toys extremely nervous, wondering if Andy will get a new toy that will replace them. Woody sends out the small green soldiers led by Sarge downstairs and to spy out the party. At the end of the party, Mrs. Davis pulls out a surprise gift from behind her, which turns out to be Buzz Lightyear, that action figure. Buzz doesn't seem to be aware that he is a piece of plastic. Believing himself to be on a mission to save the universe from the evil Emperor Zurg, he famously gives these lines, "Yes, sir. We're next month's garage sale farter for sure." Is that how you look at your life? Thinking if something better comes along, that you're going to be bypassed and you're going to be next month's garage sale fodder? I want you to know that God has special plans for you. Don't let your spiritual treasures become garage sale fodder. Well, how do I keep from becoming next month's garage sale fodder? I think it is found in being holy. Holiness is that provision, and God is our protector of the riches that he gives us. As a matter of fact, Paul says to young Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment." Oh, I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ today, God has in mind for you his personality. He wants to reveal to you who he is. God has a plan in mind for you, and he's not hiding that plan from you. He wants to give it to you. But God also has his provision in place. God is going to take care of every need that you have. Don't feel like somebody else is going to come along and steal that from you. Listen, God has a purpose that is designed just for you. It is a special plan that nobody else can quite fulfill the way that you fulfill it. You know, I'm so glad that when God made us, he made every one of us special. Just as there's no two snowflakes that look alike, none of us look exactly alike. None of us have the same DNA. None of us have the same fingerprints. None of us have the same exact skin tone. None of us have the same DNA makeup. God uniquely made us. God has a unique purpose for every single one of us. You know, even the hairs on our head are very unique to us. Even our voices are unique. You know, maybe you don't feel so good about your voice. Don't worry about your voice. God made your voice just the way it is. God made you look just the way you are. God looks at you and says that you are created in my image. You know, when God created Adam and Eve, when we first created Adam, he says, "This is very good." All of his creation was good, but when he created mankind, he says, "This is very good." Which leads me to my last point today in the broadcast. That is that God wants to reveal to us his power. Paul understood that the Ephesian believers, they were beginning to be run down. You see, they were having odds stacked against them. They were living in a city that was worshiping at the temple of Diana, this terrible god. And this god was just robbing these people. This object was taking money and taking babies. And it was a whole new life for these Ephesian believers. And I don't know if you ever felt like this. You feel worn down because you feel like you're going against the flow. You feel like nobody in this world understands just how difficult it is to be a follower of Christ. Maybe you feel like you're totally outnumbered, outmanned, outmaneuvered. The world has more money. The world has more intellect, more influence. But I want you to know that if you have God's power resting upon your life, you're invincible. Paul wanted the Ephesian believers not to be worried about losing power, not to be worrying about running out of steam, running out of gas. You know, when I was on my way to record this broadcast today, my van ran out of gas. And it ran out of gas in a really bad place. It was on an on-ramp, a very busy on-ramp. It was the on-ramp that leads to 168 South going to the Outer Banks, right off of 64. And I remember pulling in there, my van was chugging. I said, "Oh, good Lord, I'm going to run out of gas." And I was hoping I could make it around the ramp and up the little hill down to the gas station, but I didn't. And I remember having that sickening feeling of, "Oh, no, I can't believe I'm going to run out of gas right here on the middle of this on-ramp." And I was so glad that a police officer pulled in right behind me, put his lights on. I got out of my car and says, "Officer, I'm so sorry. My van has ran out of gas." And I said, "Just call my wife and she's going to come. She's coming from the Hickory area. It's going to take her 15, 20 minutes to get to me." And he was so gracious. He says, "That's all right." He says, "Go ahead and get back in your car. And I'm going to leave my lights on and I'll make sure nobody runs into the back of you." I'm so thankful that that guy came along. But you know, my minivan, my Honda Odyssey that has over 200,000 miles on it, it had plenty of power until it ran out of gas. When it ran out of gas, it didn't matter how much horsepower I had. It didn't matter how many cylinders I had. I was going nowhere. That 2-ton piece of van was going nowhere because it ran out of gas. You know, as a Christian, I don't want you to run out of gas. God will give you strength for the journey. He knows you can complete the task, and He's going to give you the power that you need. Look what Paul says in Ephesians 1, 19 to 20, and this is the prayer that he has for the Ephesian believers, and this is the prayer that I think he would have for us, that we would know His incomparable great power for us who believe. The power is that same as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms. Now, this is good stuff. I'm getting all excited about this as I read this verse, because as you look at the power that Paul is talking about, Paul says, I pray that you will tap into the power of God. And I'm not talking generically the power of God. He says, I want you to tap into the specific power of God that rose Jesus from the dead. That's the power that God wants us to have. And he says that power raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and that same power seated him in the heavenly realms, far above all rule, all authority, all power, all dominion, that every name that is invoked, not only in his present age, but also in the age to come. That's the age that we're living in. We were the age to come when Paul wrote the book of Ephesians. He says, God placed everything under his feet, and he appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Wow, this is some good stuff. The more we trust God's power, the more he provides for us, the more he protects us. So I want to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, at the end of that prayer, verse 23, Paul says that it is given to us as Christ, the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fulfillment of him who fills everything in every way. Now listen, if you're listening to this broadcast today, and you are not connected with a church, oh, I would beg with you, please be part of a church. Be a member of a church where you can serve and where you can bless that congregation, where you can experience the dunamis power of God upon your life. You know, the church is like an umbrella that protects you from the reign of the earth, protects you from the evil of the world, protects you doctrinally. Listen, Christ loved the church and he gave himself for it. I want us to be connected with the church because that's when we get the power that we need. You know, many times I am run down by the end of the week and Sunday rolls around. And then I gather with God's people. You know, every time I gather with God's people, there's an energy that I get from them. That's what's been so hard during this time of the coronavirus is we've been doing services and thriving church and doing services online. And that's great. And I'm so thankful that we're able to do that. But we couldn't connect with one another in a tangible, physical way. You see, that's where we get our power, as we connect with one another. You know, Peter reminded those who were reading his book, he reminded them that the end of all things is near. Therefore, we've got to be alert, we've got to be sober, so that we may be able to pray. Isn't that amazing how he wrote that? He says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. I love that phrase, love each other deeply. You know, when you love each other deeply, you're not going to go out and expose their sins. You may confront their sins, and that's what we do when we love somebody deeply, but we don't expose their sins. When we love somebody, we confront them in their sins. As a matter of fact, Jesus gave us an entire outline on how we should deal with a brother who has become an offense. He says, you go to that brother, Matthew 18, 15, and you confront that brother, the two of you. And if you can get that problem resolved, then you've won over your brother. Here we see that love covers over a multitude of sins. Well, thank you so much for listening to the broadcast today. And I want to close off with a word of prayer. But before I do, I want to encourage you that as you are getting involved in a church, to love your pastor, love those who are part of that church. You know, we're all sojourners. All of us are having a hard time. We're having a hard time figuring out what to do with this coronavirus. We're having a hard time figuring out what to do with all of this racial tension. And our hearts are broken over what we are seeing in our nation. So we need to love each other now more than ever before. So Lord, I come before you as we close out this broadcast. And Lord, I just pray that you'll fill us with your love. I thank you that you've revealed your plan for us. I thank you that the Apostle Paul prayed for the Ephesian believers that they'd be filled not only with your plan, but also with your power. And Lord, we need your power to make it through this journey. And that same power that rose Jesus from the dead is the same power that we're asking that you give to us. Lord, not so that we can brag upon that power, but so that we can spread the gospel and we can glorify you. I pray for the safety of those who maybe are listening to the broadcast right now as they're driving up the highway. I pray that you keep them safe, keep them close to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.